الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سن بسنته يوم الدين. أما بعد, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to accept our meeting and increase all our knowledge and to be inshallah ta'ala righteous in Islam. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless and protect the whole ummah from the fitna in this life inshallah ta'ala. Yesterday we opened the class for al-wasiyya. Al-wasiyya means the bequest. If you leave behind, you have money or wealth, property and assets, and you left it and you passed away, and we ask the question, is it obligation to leave bequest or a written will off before you die for your family members and the inheritors, or it is wajib, or it is mustahab, mandub, it's desirable? And yesterday when we go detail, they found the first ulama, the first group of ulama says it is wajib for every single Muslim before he die to leave a written will or a bequest for his family, for the family members, and for those whom you need to contribute. And their dalil came into evidence. We're talking about now the group of ulama, those who said it is wajib, obligation, you must leave before you die a written will, bequest for if you have wealth. If you have wealth. And we found this group, they said it is wajib, obligation. And their dalil came from one of the book, one of the ayah in the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says in the Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين. It is prescribed for you that if anyone will be approached by death, will be approached by death, if you leave wealth, that he makes a bequest to parents and next of kin, relatives, it is duty upon all the righteous. Allah said that in Surah Al-Baqarah. And the dalil for this group of ulama, yes, you must leave because it is prescribed for you. So when it's day, like Allah says in the Quran also, he said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ, it is prescribed to you for fasting. So the ulama said, Allah command us to leave a bequest, especially for the parents and for the next of kin. The second dalil this group said, Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's mentioned in al-Bukhari, it's mentioned by, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma wa an as-sahabati ajma'in, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, la yahiqqu limri'in muslim an yabita laylataini illa wa wasiyyatuhu maktubatun 'indih. There is no any permission for any Muslim to sleep a two single nights, unless his bequest are written and leave it at his head or in his house. So the ulama said this hadith is obligation too, because the Prophet is not permissible for Muslim to leave a single two nights without written what? Well, if you have, Ya Abdul Rashid, if you have. You don't have, you don't need. So this is two hadiths, the first group, the hadith and the ayah, makes the first group of ulama said al-wasiyya wajiba. Wajiba, it's mean obligation. And as I cleared yesterday, because some of you weren't with us yesterday, wajib mean if you do it, you'll be rewarded. And if you don't do it, you are a sinner. You are guilty. You are guilty. Mustahab and mandub mean. Meaning is, if you do it, you will be rewarded. If you don't do it, there is no sense, no blame upon you. We know all of us like this. All the Islamic Sharia under this category. Either to be wajib or mandub. It's desirable to do it. If you don't do it, you are not a sinner. Taraweeh in Ramadan. Taraweeh in Ramadan. I go, it's highly recommended to pray Taraweeh. But don't come up with idea, it is obligation. Because if you don't do it, Abdul Rashid, what's going to happen to you? You will be what? Guilty. And how many times the Prophet ﷺ did it? But he recommended us to make this Taraweeh because we need to get to elevate or you need to raise your good deeds. It's recommended. Don't leave it. Don't tell me Sheikh Mustafa told us leave the Taraweeh. I don't say that. It is highly recommended. But somebody exactly has like emergency and he goes somewhere and he missed Taraweeh for one night or two nights, three nights. My question to you, are you will be considered guilty sinner and Allah he write you are a sinner or not?
No.
No. So therefore it will be what? Mandub, desirable, is not obligation. That's what we need. Now, second group of ulama said, wasiyya, written well, if you have money, the bequest, is not obligation. It is mandub. It's mustahab. They asked the question, the second group of ulama, the first group of ulama led it by Imam al-Zuhri and Ata' from At-Tabi'een, both of them were scholars from At-Tabi'een. They make it obligation, and some group of them, group with them, they make it obligation, you must leave the bequest for your family member before you die. Second group of ulama said, no. It is mandub to leave al-wasiyya. If you don't leave al-wasiyya, you are not a sinner. Allah is not going to punish you. Tay, we have to tell them, okay, we accept this, but can you give us a detail? Can you give us a dalil? To actually, because this is different that opinion than the first group of ulama. That's why many times I told you, don't jump into the conclusion. You may find one book, he said, wasiyya are obligated. That's it. That's mean actually, if you don't do it, you'll be sinner. Second group of ulama said, no, who said it's obligation? And who is the habrul umma wa alimha? Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, which Allah mentioned it, I mentioned it to you, which Allah Ta'ala kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadukum al-maut. It's prescribed for you. If anyone of you will be approached by death, to leave what? Al-wasiyya, the bequest for the people whom you need to contribute or your family members. Ibn Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, no. We understand the ayah. The ayah is not like that. The ayah has a reason. That's why before you make your decision, you must know what is the reason, what is the occasion, why Allah sent this ayat. Every single ayah, Allah sent it for a reason. Let us study. He said, let's go for tafsir of the ayah from the Prophet ﷺ. When Allah said, it is prescribed for you, that's been command. If anyone of you will be approached by death, to leave. Leave what? A request for whom you need, whom you love. Tayyibi said, you know, the ayah revealed in Surah Al-Baqarah because in the beginning of Islam, if anyone die from the Sahaba, all his property, all his wealth go to his children. Nothing for parents, nothing for the other family members, nothing for brothers, nothing for sisters, only for children. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not describe it in this ayah as a percentage. Therefore, the ayah Surah An-Nisa is a complete law and regulations for the Muslim to describe the inheritance in percentage. When you a male, take the double than the female. Male, take the double than the female. Tayyib. My mother, she will have one third if I don't have any children, and my father will take the rest if there is no children. As we described it before, we know that the wife, if she has children and her husband passed away, she will have 1/8. If she has no children from him, she will have 1/4. If the woman, she has the money and she passed away, and she has a property and wealth, her husband is still alive, her husband, he will have 1/2 of her property and assets if she has no children. If he has no children from her, and he will take 1/4 if he has a children. And we know and describe how much the fida, how much for percentage for the brothers, if so and so and so. We describe all that in detail in our class, review our class in the internet. Now, they said Surah An-Nisa revealed the ayah from Surah An-Nisa. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْإِنْسَيَانِ آية number 11 and 12 came to correct نسخ منسوخ. What's mean منسوخ is? Anybody knows what's نسخ mean what?
Cancel.
هي شريف cancel. بارك الله فيك. In the beginning of Islam, Allah said, you know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Or you who believe, don't come and offer your salah or you stand for your salah while you are drunk. It means the drink was what? Permitted. Allah, he take the sahaba step by step. You cannot come for somebody love the wife and cut it off right away. That's why be careful. You meet somebody from the Christian and he confess, don't rush it. Take him step by step. Tell him why it's so and so. Later on, Allah Ta'ala sent the ayah to correct this rule, because the iman became strong of the heart of the believer. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجز من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. Oh, you who believe, الخمر it's mean all the kind of alcohol products, include beer. Abdul Rashid, or not beer? The beer is not included, right? So subhanallah, some people they talk to today refreshment, they want to change the beer to refreshment. Even if you name it, it's not gonna work. Haram. Now, after that, like I remember, for this reason, one of the brother, he followed the mashab Abu Hanifa. He told me, ya Sheikh, he said, what I told him, what he told me, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, little cup of wine, it's okay to take it. I told him, you are a liar, because Abu Hanifa, he cannot, rahimahullah, he cannot permit something in haram. But the problem with you and whom you love, like in Masjid al-Taqwa, I came to the imam, give them a class. He told them haram, haram, but he said marijuana is halal. Marijuana is what?
Marijuana is halal.
Yeah, he said marijuana is halal. He said, why you said marijuana is halal? He said, because it gives you energy. Energy, you are a dajjal, you are a liar. You understand? So we cannot permit the haram to make it lawful. You cannot it. But anyway, come back to our area here. So the ayah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said Surah An-Nisa came to correct the law of the Surah Al-Baqarah. Or you who believe, if any one of you will be approached by death, remember, if you leave a wealth, what you have to do, don't forget your parents, because the money used to go, all the money used to, in the beginning of Islam or in Jahiliyyah, used to go for who?
Children.
So Allah, he command you to remember your parents also, give them some without mentioning any percentage. In Surah Al-Baqarah, without mention, it will be up to you to give the percentage. If your father, he was good with you, give him a lot, man. If the father actually was bad with you, don't punish him and don't give him too much. Allah, he told me to give him, but give him a little. So it became up to you to give the percentage. That's in the beginning of Islam. So if don't take the money and give it to all the children, but give some for your parents and for your next kin, your relative. Give some in the written will. So this is that. But ayat al-Nisa came later to stop this law, because Allah, he described what? The percentage for everyone. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, people, they say, they make it the bequest obligation. It is not obligation, because when the law comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, later in Surah An-Nisa, and mean what? Nasakhat ayat Surah Al-Baqarah, correct the law for Surah Al-Baqarah. That's number one. Number two, and he said exactly, he opened a question. What about if somebody doesn't leave any bequest behind him? And after that, he left. His money will go automatically to who? For example, me now today, I said, you know, I'm going to follow Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah, he commanded me to leave a bequest or a written will for my children. What about if I don't make it? And I die. The money which I leave behind me will go automatically to who? To the children and to the parents, if the parents will have it. So that means actually Allah is written for me actually how we distribute our money between our family members and the number of inheritors. Ibn Abbas, he came to second question. He asked, what about if somebody came and he said, like, I punish one of my son, I never gonna write anything for him, I will write it down before I die. My grandson, the Muhammad, got zero because he disobeyed me. And he died. And he left this written bequest. What are you gonna do with it? Nothing for Muhammad? My father, he passed away and he said, nothing for Muhammad. Or he gave percentage for both of them, the male and female, equally. Because the law here in the United States, the female equal the male. Okay, what about if he did that? If you open his bequest after he died, what you gonna do? It's haram to take it. You must correct it. My father, he said, not allow for Muhammad, my grandson Muhammad, or exclude any one of his children, or he made a percentage, different percentage in his bequest. It's obligation over all those who open the bequest to what? Corrected according to what? Sharia. The Sharia. You cannot accept any false contract in Islam. You cannot. If the contract built in false is not valid in Islam. This you have to understand like this. It's not going to work like this. So come back to the hadith. He said, let's we study the hadith too. He gave explanation for the ayah. The ayah came for the special, the son, because they used to have all the money. So don't forget to give some for the parents. And he left the choice for the children to give how much they give to the parents. Allah later in Surah An-Nisa, he sent the percentages between all the family members. Hadith. Hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Bukhari also. Ibn Umar, he said, he mentioned that the Prophet is not permitted for any Muslim to sleep a two single night without a written bequest or a bequest or written will of his assets, how he need to distribute his assets. It's written. Ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhuma, and this is authentic, remember what I'm talking today, the second group are authentic. Wasiya is not obligation, it is mandub, it is desirable. So Ibn Abbas, he said, listen, we took in the hadith. Al-amr huna mahmulun ala al-istihbab. This hadith also, it is while the Prophet, he said in the hadith, not permission for any Muslim to sleep a two single night unless his bequest in his house or above his head. He said, this is mandub because of the evidence. Again, he said, if the father, he corrected anything, actually will leave it for any one of us for a choice to give percentage of his property for whom he loved, orphan place, hospital, my uncle who doesn't deserve anything in the inheritance, it will be up to me. I will give 50% of my will, because this is happening with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Condition for my brother, I concentrate with me with this. The condition to distribute your money, it is came in a story also in Al-Bukhari Sharif and all other of the book, the story of Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Waqqas, ibn Abi Waqqas, the great hero in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ in Hajjat al-Wida', when he took group of Muslims to perform the Hajj, and this is a great Hajj. Marida Sa'd. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas became sick. And he was afraid too much to die in Mecca. Look at this. Sa'd, why? Because for Muhajirin, those who immigrate from Mecca and Medina, the Prophet disallowed them to come back to their own town, Mecca, and to live there. They became Muhajirin. Your Darul Hijrah, the place of the Hijrah in Medina. So even for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after immigrate and left Mecca to Medina, not permissible to him to come back to his own town, Mecca. All of those who migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their residence became in Medina. And all of them, when you're resident and in Medina, you should die where? In Al-Madinah. That's why have this intention to die in Al-Madinah, my brother, with your beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet, he refused to live after he performed the Hajj and opened Mecca Islamically. He refused to live in Mecca. He came back to what? To Medina again. Now, Sa'di was too much afraid because he became sick, very sick in Mecca when he performed the Hajj. And he was afraid to die in Mecca because he need to die in Medina. But the Prophet ﷺ learned by Allah that Sa'd he will live. He's not gonna die. Why? Because there is a lot of opening. Sa'd radiallahu anhu wa arda an al-Sahaba opened the east and west Islamically, conquered the power of the disbeliever. Sa'd radiallahu anhu, irmi Sa'd. You remember when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Irmi Sa'd bi abi anta wa ummi." The Prophet, he prayed to Sa'd, shoot by your arrow, ya Sa'd, because every single shoot in arrow came from Sa'd. He had his goal because the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed for him. So Sa'd, he broke the army of Roman Empire and the Persian, who is a great hero. So Allah tabaraka ta'ala informed his messenger that Sa'd is not gonna die. But Sa'd asked a question before you leave. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, indi mal. I left money. Waliya bintun wahida. And I have only one daughter. One daughter." And then the Prophet, they said, "Hal usi laha bil mal? Can I leave a bequest for her for all my money?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, "La ya Sa'd. لا وصية لوارث. No written will, no bequest to be written for anyone who deserves to be inheritors. You cannot say, I give my son so and so, I give my daughter son and so, I give my mother so and so, because originally they deserve to some of your property or not. So you don't have to do that. Anyone which described in Surah An-Nisa, between the children, the parents, the father, whatever is, your wife, your husband, whatever, deserve a percentage Allah described. You are not allowed to write anything. So what I have to do, Sheikh?" You say, "I advise those who open my bequest to distribute my wills according to Sharia." You don't have to say, "My son has, my daughter, my daughter," and you give percentage, because Allah is the one, he make the formula. That's number one. So Sa'd right away, how much it is? Sa'd, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Qala usi bimalihi kulli." Sa'd, "Usi bimali kullu. Can I write a bequest to contribute all my money, not for my daughter, all my money to somebody else, like poor people, organization, or so and so?" فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, "La." The Prophet said, "No." قال الثلثين. "Can I make a written bequest the 2/3 of my money to give it to whom I love?" The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, "La." No. Then he said, "الشطر." Half of it, I write a will to whom I love to contribute it. Then the Prophet ﷺ قال, "La." The Prophet, he said, "No." قال الثلث, 1/3. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, "الثلث والثلث كثير." And the third is too much too. And the Prophet, he followed the hadith of what? لَإِن تَطْرُكْ أَوْلَادَكَ أَغْنِيَاءَ أحب إليك من أن تتركهم عالة يتكففون الغير. If you leave a property and your assets, a property and wealth to your children and make them rich, secure it after you, it's better for you. It is the most beloved action for you, better than you leave them what? Poor, they begging after you to ask donation from all the people, because you cannot go, you have to go according to the Sharia. Right away, Muslim, he doesn't have too much money. And he has a right, exactly, I'm going to give third according to the Sharia. Somebody like has to, for example, $1,000. And he need to leave it after him. He said third of it to go to charity for us Muslim organization. We told him, no, your children will be have priority to leave this money, because you leave a children, poor children, you are not allowed. You must secure your children after you. They have a rent, they have mortgage, they have utilities, they have food, so and so. You leave them in the same house which you used to live with them before. After you go and distribute some part, big money, part of your money, to distribute it for somebody else while they need it. I'm talking about those who are poor and they live to not too much money. But if you live to too much money, you have right in Islam to write to whom you will, to whom you love, to contribute not more than what? One third of your property and assets, and the third is too much, as the Prophet ﷺ clear it to Sa'd. Therefore, the second group of ulama, finally to close the class, they said the bequest, it is not obligation, it is desirable action. If you do it, it's fine, if you have money. And if you don't do it, there's nothing wrong about it. You will leave it for your children, they will get automatically the percentage after you, because it's written by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it's commanded by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore, the ulama, so they describe that, and the bequest must be according to the Sharia, not to change anything or to give any percentage for those who are legally deserve a portion of your money, like such as your children or your parents. Don't write anything for them, because Allah is the one, He changed all of that, inshallah. And Allah tabaraka ta'ala is the one, He knows about this percentage. We ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to help us to understand the Islam. And if you have a question, I'm here, inshallah. Let me make dua before you leave. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa aqbal minna arhamar rahimin, waj'alna sababa liman ihtada, wa'allimna ma'allamta bihi kathiri min khalqik, waj'alna min ar-rashidin, waj'alna min al-lazina istami'una القول فاتبعون حسنة. اللهم اهدي أولادنا وأولاد المسلمين واختم لنا بخاتمة السعادة أجمعين، وانصرنا على من عادانا. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين في كل مكان، واشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اربط على قلوب الموحدين، وارزقنا التقوى والعفاف، وارزقنا يا رب حبك وحب من يحبك، وحب رسولك وحب من يحب رسولك، وانصر إخواننا في جميع أنحاء الأرض. اللهم انصر إخواننا في سوريا، وانصر إخواننا في اليمن وفي مصر، وانصر إخواننا في السودان، وانصر إخواننا في نيجيريا. Your brother in Nigeria, they are suffering now actually under the bane of the disbelievers too. We ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to give victory for all the Muslims in everywhere, in Palestine and in Somalia and Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in everywhere, يا رب العالمين. We ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to save all of us from the disbeliever and the campaign of the shaitan. يقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم، جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And please, if you have a question, ask me now.
Make dua for my mother-in-law who is very sick in Bangladesh.
Yes. The brother requests, inshallah ta'ala, dua for his mother-in-law. She is very sick back in Bangladesh. Allahumma shfiha shifaan la yugadiru saqama. Nas'al Allah al-Ali al-Azim, Rabbul Arsh al-Azim, an yashfiha shifaan la yugadiru saqama. Allahumma ya Rabbi, ij'alha min al-sabirin ala balaiha. Allahumma ya Rabbi al-Azim, ij'alha min al-sabirin ala balaiha. Allahumma ya Rabbi al-Azim, irji'ha ila ahliha salima ghanima. Waj'alu fi mizani hasanatiha. Allahumma ij'alu fi mizani hasanatiha. Allahumma ya Rabbi al-Afiha ويعافيها واعف عنها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يا رب ارحمها، فإنها أمتك يا ربي وأمة عبدك يا رب العالمين. اللهم يا رب العرش العظيم، اشفيها شفاء لا يغادر سقما، واشفيها شفاء لا يغادر سقما، اشفيها شفاء لا يغادر سقما. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين، وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله، جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.